Inspiration is everywhere. We can find it in our books, our movies, our games, and even just the world around us. With the creative kindling laid and a random prompt to provide the spark, anything and everything will emerge from the flames.
Join us around the fire as we breathe life into these embers of creation. Here, we'll discuss, joke, and forge new stories in the hopes that you find entertainment and inspiration along the way. So grab your hammer and tongs and man the bellows.
This is WorldForge Season 2.
Good evening, Sam, and good evening, listeners. Hi. Hello.
Hi. Hey, good evening. Was that your dramatic, like, horror movie narrator voice?
No, not even close.
I could see in your eye, I felt like you were trying something, and then
I was more just channeling the fact that it is, in fact, evening when okay. We are recording. Normally, well, it's morning or midday, but just stating the obvious, I guess.
This is a rip-roaring start we're off to here. This week. I mean, evening is the spookiest time of the day, unless you are a vampire, where daytime is probably the spookiest time of day for you,
yeah.
Or another night-dwelling creature.
You know, that's a very good point, Sam. But yes. The point is, it is evening, we're back, and we're glad to have you all with us as we explore another spooky and thrilling topic.
Yes.
Sam,
yes.
What haunted, spooky, horrible thing are we going to try and create today?
Well, we're going to create a... haunted, spooky, horrible thing. I think you kind of defined it pretty well right there, actually. We're talking about cursed locations, let's say cursed people, places, and things. We can cover all our nouns.
Yes.
And we can kind of decide where we want to go with them. I think it's cool to cast a wide net with this one because it's a really fun topic.
Exactly. I would also branch it out even further and say cursed/haunted people, places, or
yes,
things.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, because I think there is a fine... line between an area or a thing that's cursed versus something that's haunted.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like a curse has like intentionality, like someone inflicted that
right.
on it, which
yes.
I think is, there are very different connotations there, right? Mm-hmm. A haunting can just be incidental, you know, mm-hmm. like that might just be because of events that transpired in any random location, right? Whereas a curse is... no one like accidentally puts a curse on a location, really, right? I mean, well, maybe they do. Yeah, yeah, exactly. If you're a clumsy cursor, then yes, it's entirely possible. But
you curse because you are clumsy.
Classically, I would say, a curse is something that you say, oh, I don't like you. I'm going to put a curse on you. Curse you.
Exactly. Well, that was, I made a note of this as like a talking point, and I think you would really like this kind of approach to curses, Sam. I think curses explore the power of words.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because what I love about curses, I think some of my favorite curses are ones that are delivered by like just a normal individual, someone who has no magical abilities, but because they have been hurt so badly or they feel so deeply about something, they can just issue forth these words and it's powerful enough to like change the fate of this location, person, or place.
Yeah. And I love that sort of bit of fantastical realism there, right? That a person who isn't inherently magic can feel an emotion so strongly that it imbues their words with their intent.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think that's so cool. And I think that's a really interesting, you know, imagine that as kind of an origin story for a sorcerer, or a wizard, or a warlock, or a villain or something like that. If they suddenly find that when they get really, really mad, anything they say kind of comes true, you know, anything
yeah.
they say about another person can kind of come true. I think that would be a really fun, and, you know, thinking of a character suddenly realizing they can do this, but not really knowing like how angry or how emotional do I have to be to cross this line into, you know, willing my emotions into being, you know,
right.
how do they control it? Can they control it?
Exactly.
Are they just kind of like a, you know, a loaded gun. That's really, really cool.
I imagine a montage following of them after realizing they have this ability one time. They're like, I want $1 million and just like shouting a bunch of different stuff and nothing quite sticks because it needs to have that like soul wrenching like impact.
Yeah, exactly. Like it can only work if it's negative energy or something like that. Because otherwise it's a blessing and not a curse.
Right.
I suppose.
Which would be interesting to also explore, but that's not quite spooky enough.
No, we're
kicking blessings out the door.
Yes, get out of here.
It actually makes me think of one of my first examples for inspiration
I can't wait. Yeah.
I know. My first example of a curse is Camp Green Lake from Holes.
Great.
And
I love that.
I've always loved that it's Kate Barlow, who is just a normal woman who is horribly, tragically hurt by the world around her.
She's done wrong.
Yes. Yeah. They killed her love. They were racists. And she first sought her revenge by killing a bunch of evil people and robbing others. But then I love at the very end there, she's returned to the lake, she's buried her treasure, and she's like totally done with everything. Yeah. And I just love her whole speech, the way that she turns towards that guy. And I can't think of what his name is, the bad guy in that, like the old timey bad guy.
Yeah.
But I love that she just says, "You, your children, and your children's children will dig for 1,000 years. And you will never find it." And like, that's the start. And then like, it never rains again. And he and her and his family never find it. And it's like, oh my God, that's so cool.
I think that actually touches on one of the things that I wanted to talk about here as well. I love the idea of a generational curse.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, what I wanted to talk about with curses is, you know, I kind of joked like the people, places, and things. But I do think it's really interesting the way that a curse can have an effect on a different sort of target in different ways, right? Mm-hmm. I actually, when I was just doing a quick Goog, looking, I was Googing about, just looking for some kind of inspiration here, like trying to find stuff from like movies or games or, you know, that'd be interesting to talk about. And one of the first results I found was actually from Christianity.com.
Oh boy.
Now, disclaimer here. It's an article that says, "Are generational curses biblical?" And there's a little foreword that basically says, I'll just read it. It says, "It's become increasingly common for Christians to suppose that they are victims of generational curses. Close examination shows this notion to be seriously flawed." So, you know, we're not trying to slander Christianity.com. If you believe in curses or not, that's cool. This article doesn't seem to be making claims to, you know, fantastical things like this being real, but I think it's an interesting sort of look at this concept of generational curses. So the first paragraph of it that I'll just read here, it says, "What is a generational curse? A generational curse is believed to be passed down from one generation to another due to rebellion against God. If your family line is marked by divorce, incest, poverty, anger, or other ungodly patterns, you're likely under a generational curse. The Bible says that these curses are tied to choices. Deuteronomy 30:19 says we can either choose life and blessing or death and cursing." It also says, "Our families have the greatest influence on our development, including the development of our patterns of sin." I think that's just a really, really interesting sort of framework for how you can view curses, that it might be something that, you know, kind of in the same way, some ancestor of yours made a choice and, you know, 100 years later, the effects of that choice are still rippling through their descendants, you know?
And exactly.
Are their descendants aware of this? Do they say, "Oh man, like, you know, it's my no good, dirty, rotten, pig stealing great grandfather" or whatever,
exactly.
like in Holes? Yeah. Or do they just say like, "Man, I sure am unlucky. That's really weird. Like,
totally.
You know, my mom was clumsy, but I guess I never really thought of it that way." Like, I think that's a really interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you start to suffer these curses? Like, what is the cause of this? Like, does a person put it on you? Is it a thing that's, you know, born just into your bloodline? Like, were you just conceived in a nasty place or something like that? Like, you know, like what kind of energy can exert itself on you to inflict you with this? I think that's a very interesting sort of line of discussion. We've just been talking about watching Haunting in Hill House. We just finished it.
Yeah.
That's something that's kind of discussed in that as well.
Right.
Stephen, one of the main characters,
the eldest brother.
Like, exactly. He says, like, "Our family is cursed. Like, I will never have children because they're just going to be fucked up like us," you know? And like, I think that's just a very interesting concept.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It also makes me think of, my mind instantly went, when you talked about the cursed like family line, I thought about Captain Haddock in the Tintin movie.
Exactly.
Through the flashbacks, we see that his ancient relative's like rival, Red Rackham, this pirate, that he put a curse on his family name. And that's why
he's a drunk and an idiot.
He believes, we've all sucked and failed. And he's like, I'm the last of the Haddocks.
Well, so, you know, I think the most important thing to really talk about then in regards to something like this is how do you overcome a generational curse?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Is it something where...
Do you have to right your ancestors'
wrong? Yeah. Do you undo something they did? If it is something that's in your blood, is that metaphorical or is that a literal physical thing? Like, can you purify your blood through magic or technology or, you know, some ritual? Is it that you have to achieve something greater than the, you know, this curse's power to replace the curse with a different magical energy? Like, I think there's so many cool directions to go there that could be very easily spun off into, you know, even a main quest that'll take you through an entire campaign of a Dungeons and Dragons or role-playing game or what have you.
Absolutely. What you just said made me think of an idea for a character. And this, I feel like it must be inspired by something that I'm not thinking of the source of. But it made me think of somebody who's like just so unlucky. Like everything that happens, like every single day they have bad stuff happen to them. But they are the most giving, charitable person ever. Like they're just a really nice person. And they're like, I'm just trying to, you know, reverse my bad luck. And so they're constantly like donating their time at a homeless shelter, but they're always getting like splashed by the bus on the way there and like having things dropped on their foot or I don't know, just like little things. And they're like, my entire existence is bad luck and I'm just trying to make it better.
I like the sort of karmic slant to that, right? That it's like, well, okay, if I keep doing good things, eventually it'll come back around,
right?
yeah exactly. Like, I don't know what it is, it's just not my turn yet.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really interesting. And you know, maybe this is happening because there's a, you know, there's an evil spirit following them, or there's a, you know, some it could even be something as innocuous as, you know, a friend of theirs is playing a prank on them. They put like a simple little kind of unluck spell on them so that, you know, very minor little bad things happen to them, but, you know, minor enough that it doesn't really affect your day-to-day life, but big enough that you notice
right.
a little bit, you know. It's not like, you know, you fall down a cliff and, you know, break your leg and have to have it amputated. It's more like, oh, it's I like, stubbed my toe. That's so annoying.
Once a week, a bird poops on you.
Yeah, exactly. I almost think that's kind of more interesting to have as just a kind of a fun character quirk.
Well, yeah, totally.
You know, and that could be a thing that you learn about your background organically through the role playing of a character. You know, like maybe you don't design this character with an answer for this.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a fun thing as a DM if a player gave me that and said, "Hey, I'm really unlucky. You decide why."
Yeah, no,
you
know? I like that a lot too.
How cool would that be to role play that back and forth?
Yeah. I like that. I also envision with this spontaneous character scenario is another person, you know, witnessing this individual who constantly has all this bad stuff happen to them, even though they're like from the outside seems like just the nicest person, like they just give and give and give. And they say to them, they're like, why do you keep trying? Like, I feel like everyone else would just get mad and give up. And they're like, and that's kind of, I think, the core of that character's character is that they're like, well, I can't just give up. Like, this bad stuff, it'll go away eventually. Or like, this bad stuff that I have, it's not as bad as some people.
That's
like,
such an anime main character.
Yeah.
Like, then, no, I have to keep, my heart is the most powerful muscle in my body. Like, I have to keep going. Like,
well, maybe that was why they got cursed. Maybe someone saw their like eternal optimism and they're like, I can change that.
They're like, that's annoying.
They're like, I can make it so you don't see on the bright side. And they put this little curse on them, but still they just keep going. Like, someone spits in their eye and they're like, thank you, sir. Have a good day.
I like that, right? You know, maybe they're kind of like a karmic lightning rod, right? Maybe somebody, they're traveling in an adventuring party or whatever, and you know, they've got kind of a you know, lawful evil or neutral evil character that says like, I'm not really tied to like the rules or anything, I don't really care about other people, but I'll travel with them if it benefits me. Maybe they say, if I put this spell on them that sucks all the bad luck onto them, good things will happen to all of us, like around us. Like, like this one person is, like I said, it's like a lightning rod for bad luck. They absorb all the bad luck so that good things happen to those around them, meaning me. So I'll benefit. That could be kind of a sneaky, you know, bad guy sort of move. That would be kind of an interesting party dynamic as well when that's revealed.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Everyone else in the party is furious with that person, except for the guy who's been receiving all the bad luck. And he's like, oh man, well, I guess I can see why you did it. And they're like, you should be so mad at him. He did this to you. And he's like, whatever.
Meanwhile, they all have like way nicer, like helmets and their pockets are full of gold. And there's like, you know, they're like, well, I guess it was kind of nice that we just, everything that we found was like exactly fitted to my, you know, like this 4,000 year old breastplate that we found. It was like, it was tailored just for me. Like, that's pretty lucky, right?
Wow. Like, whoever owned it previously had the same initials as I do.
Yeah, yeah, right. What are the odds? Yeah, I think there's, I love the idea of the different levels of stakes to this, right? That it can be like a really kind of cosmic evil, like, oh man, my family line, like, you know, we're eternally cursed to like, oh, you know, or it can just be a, you know, like silly little kind of bad things happen. But, you know, like my buddy won $20 on a scratch off because I was around when he bought it.
Totally. Every hot beverage I get ends up in my lap.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly.
My curse.
It's all just slightly too hot. Like every time you order soup, you get overzealous, or every time you order pizza or whatever, you if you had waited 10 seconds longer, it would have been the perfect temperature, but you're cursed to always take a bite one little second too soon. Yeah.
The roof of his mouth is always scalded.
It's just a big nasty blister. Ew.
So
what else have you got, Piper?
My other example that I had to mention this, of course, and this falls into the haunted category.
Yeah.
It's spooky season, and so I have already at least 3 times watched The Haunted Mansion, Disney's The Haunted Mansion.
You're a maniac.
I know. It's granted, everyone, you must know that this is not a quality film. I do not think that this is like high cinema, but it checks so many little fan boxes for me that I love it. And I'm also almost done with editing my Haunted Mansion fan fiction. So soon you all can get a copy if you want one.
But I love that you admitted that once.
Yes.
And then like just double, you're like, you know what? No, I'm going to continue to talk about this and not like a lot of people would be like, shoot, why did I mention that? I hope that everybody forgets about it. Like, no. We're going all in on this.
Exactly. Once I print this bad boy, because I've been writing it since 2012. And by now it's like, I think pretty darn good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be on my freaking business cards. I'll be like, hi, I'm Piper Cleveland. And by the way, I wrote a fan fiction for The Haunted Mansion. I think it's really good. You should read it.
Like, you mean like The Ride? No, The Movie.
No, the movie, 2003 with Eddie Murphy.
Edward Murphy.
But no, so what I like, obviously.
Sorry, that's not me throwing shade on people who write fan fiction, generally speaking. I just have to poke fun at you because it's such an obscure and like strange topic for fan fiction.
I totally own that. But no, so what I've always liked about The Haunted Mansion as pursued in the film is I like the idea that, and it's something that's kind of similar with what we see in Hill House, is that this horrible deed happens where Elizabeth Henshaw is killed by the evil Ramsley, the butler, who's an evil racist ghost.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Well, and ever since that night, everyone who dies on the property, their soul is trapped there.
Yeah.
So people who have no relation or connection whatsoever, like if you die on that land, you won't be able to move on.
Are there a bunch of people who just have been like, I was, you know, like just walking along on the grounds, urban exploring, and I stepped on a rake and it broke my nose and I died of a bloody nose or whatever. Are there just like a bunch of people who've died of like stupid reasons that just happen to be like technically on the property, like, you know, not even like within the fence. They're like trying to climb the fence and they accidentally skewer themselves or something. And so they're like halfway in. So half their spirit is there and half their body is just
suck.
In a pile. Yeah.
It doesn't really explore that per se in the movie, but that's,
well, what a wasted opportunity.
It's kind of like a theory of mine that is the case though, because like at one point when they go through the cemetery, I mean, there's people there from like all generations and decades and times. Yeah. And I've always thought that, it is, you know, ever since this curse, like if you have the misfortune of dying here for whatever reason, well, too bad. You're going to be here until this issue is resolved.
Sorry, did I just reveal the end of your fan fiction?
You did not. Not even close, mister. Mine's way better than that.
See, and that was pretty good. So, dear listeners, keep your eyes and ears open for when that one drops on you.
Yeah. And I just want to mention this because I've recently really developed a passion for Disney theme parks all over the world and the way that they change the story of the rides based on different parks.
Yeah.
So the story of the original haunted house, the Haunted Mansion, it was originally that like a pirate captain was there, and because it was supposed to be attached to the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. And
was it, so wait, it was like a sequel ride?
No. So it was, the Pirates of the Caribbean ride was going to be right next door to the Haunted Mansion. Okay. And so Disney wanted this kind of carryover. I bet that hurt
their property values.
Disney, Walt Disney wanted this carryover kind of narrative. And so the original plot is that this old pirate captain, he has this mansion built and he marries this young woman and he tells her, like, don't ever like look up in the attic. Don't ask me about my past.
Yeah.
And she is like too curious. And so she goes looking and she finds out that he used to be a pirate and then he had married this other woman and killed her. And so she's like, I know your secret. I'm going to tell the whole town. And he kills her.
Seems
and
like she, kind of an unhealthy relationship.
Oh, yeah. It's really bad. Yeah. And so like that like murder kind of starts the curse on the mansion.
Okay.
And but then it changes from different parks. And that isn't the story of the Disney World or Disneyland plot anymore. But what I think is really cool is that when Euro Disney, which is like in France, I believe, their Haunted Mansion story, because they built the Haunted Mansion right next to this kind of like Western town where they have Rocky Mountain roller coaster and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
And so they incorporated the story, which I just think is cool.
That is, yeah. So it's more like ghostly prospectors and stuff.
Well, yeah. The story there is the idea that there was this like wealthy and like evil landowner and he owned most of this mining town and he was like really possessive of his daughter and she was beautiful. And so she'd get all these suitors and right before their wedding day, the suitor would mysteriously die because her father was killing them. Cause he's like, no one should marry my daughter. Okay, she's too good for anybody. And then cause there's all of these like bride stories. And so I think it's then her that curses the house when she finds out that her father has done this of this like misery. And I think the last time she goes up and kills herself when her groom is murdered.
That reminds me of there's a Tallest Man on Earth song called The Gardener. That it's about a guy singing about all of the rival suitors that he's murdered and buried in his garden, and that's why his flowers grow so well.
Oh, nice!
It's really cute. Yeah, I like it a lot. It's cute in like a very grim way, and whenever he plays it, it's I don't know. He always is like, yeah, it's like a love song, but it's kind of a bad love song. Like I don't know. He's very like charming when he talks about it. He's like totally aware that he's like, yeah, this is like toxic and not cool.
I
love it. Yeah.
It's a fun concept, though.
Yeah. It is a fun concept. Yeah.
But yeah, in their ride, the curse actually overtakes the town and an earthquake swallows the mining town.
Yeah.
So when you ride the Haunted Mansion in Euro Disney, you go underneath the house and you actually go to the sunken town where you can see all these like ghostly and skeletal prospectors.
Cool.
It's really neat. I love that. So I love the way the story changes.
Okay, Piper, would you, if you lived, well, all right, what would be your preferred scenario? To live in a spooky haunted mansion and your neighbors are a bunch of rowdy pirates. To live in a spooky haunted mansion and your neighbors are a bunch of rowdy undead prospectors, or to be either a pirate or a prospector and your neighbors are a bunch of rowdy ghosts.
Oh my gosh. I think I would choose to live in a mansion and have pirate neighbors.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of what I figured you'd want to go with.
Because I'm like, nah, I want to be in that ghost house. It'll be super cool and spooky and fun.
They'd be the coolest looking neighbors because they'd have those big fancy hats. And,
hell yeah.
And everything. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's fair.
Sweet pirate ships doing pirate ghost stories.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be
great. Nonstop party. What about you?
I think I'd probably choose the same, although I do kind of like the idea of the Wild West that I could, you know, I could step out of my mansion.
Out of your doom buggy?
Yeah, right into my cowboy pants and stroll on into the saloon. And then I could just do a little fun little, howdy y'all, a little jaunt down to the saloon for my sarsaparilla.
Nice.
And then head back to my fancy mansion.
Very fun.
For a cozy evening.
So many fun options.
Yeah. Well, Piper, I'm gonna jump over to... I talked about it. I had to do people, places, and things.
Yes.
So I'll buzz through my places and my things real quick. But I love the idea of thinking about how curses can affect an object, right? Which we have a whole episode about that. We do have a cursed objects episode. But one cool example, I think, of a cursed object from pop culture is the haunted VHS from The Ring.
Yes.
Because it's such an innocuous thing. It's not the kind of thing you would imagine. It's mechanically, it's like perfect to me, right? Mm-hmm. Because you just look at it and it's like you can't use it on its own, right? It's not, there's nothing you can do with a VHS by like picking it up and like, you know, there's no button or anything to press
chuck
to activate
it.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's just a piece of plastic
with some film and strangle someone with it.
Yeah, I guess it's like it's weakly magnetic, maybe. That's like the only like mechanical property it has that could be potentially like MacGyver-y useful. But that when it's put in, when it's used in the appropriate context or with the appropriate, like, you know, artifact of a VCR.
Mm-hmm. And a television.
Yes, a television. Yeah. It with like RCA input. So if it's a flat screen TV, you need an adapter to be able to, even watch it, which is an interesting thing. Can Samara travel through an HDMI cable?
Right.
Or can she only travel through like RCA? Like,
well, that's the thing I was wondering, like if you play the VHS in a VCR, but it's not hooked up to the television, but it's still playing, will the person still get cursed?
Yeah,
if they don't actually watch the footage?
Totally. I mean, what if you burn her onto a DVD?
Whoa.
And then upload that DVD to YouTube?
Yeah.
Whose TV does she come out of?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think that would actually be kind of a fun thing to explore, like, you know, that concept in a modern world, because the way that we consume media is so different now, right? Like, the idea of saying, oh, well, there's only one physical copy, like, nothing exists that only has one copy. Like, that's ridiculous now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the modern equivalent of that would be like, oh, my cursed TikTok that haunts anyone who watches it. You know what I mean? Like 6 billion people were haunted in the last 24 hours because my TikTok went viral.
I know there are shows and movies that have explored this concept. And so far, I've never seen one that works for me. I'm always just like, ugh, the modern era technology kind of ruins it. It doesn't make it spooky.
But I do love that concept of a more efficient delivery method for a curse.
Yes.
Right? That a curse doesn't necessarily have to be directed at one individual based on their use of this like particular artifact in a particular fashion in a particular place. It can be something that is distributed, you know, it's like it's airborne, right? Yeah. It's a curse that's more contagious.
So Sam, this makes me think of, if we want to talk about nostalgic curses from our youth, what about those like email chains?
Oh,
do you remember those where they would like, you like, oh, you have to send this to blankety blank people. And if you don't like write these exact things, then you're cursed.
Yeah. But that if you do, your one true love will meet you tonight at 6 o'clock at your favorite dinner hole or whatever.
Right?
I don't know. Yeah. Dinner hole.
Dinner hole.
Restaurant.
Dinner hole.
Welcome to the dinner hole.
Oh my God.
Is the dinner hole is your mouth.
Yes, exactly.
Probably, yeah. So
that means you're getting kisses if they're meeting you at your dinner hole.
Oh, yeah. Only if you reply to that email. Yeah. Only if you forward that email to enough people.
Then you'll get kisses in your dinner hole.
The cursed dinner hole.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I love the idea because you know, you're talking to someone who's involved with actual curses in this weird scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, those are real.
At the dinner hole?
At the dinner hole.
Yeah, at the dinner hole? Okay.
and they're like, oh, those are real. We've been like successfully spreading them for eons. Like, oh, remember that email thing? All those people actually cursed.
Of course.
It's like, what? What do you mean actually cursed? It's like, oh, well, you know, they'll never make it more than like $1 million in their life, but whatever. Like, it's a curse.
Sometimes I feel like this podcast is a curse upon our listeners. That's cool. I like that. I like that we got the dinner hole out of that one. What's you got any more for us, Piper, or should I bump on over to my last one, my place?
Tell me your last one, Sam.
This is an obvious one, but it can't go without saying. The Overlook Hotel from The Shining.
Yeah.
Kind of the OG, like, haunted big cool place. It's like a giant hotel that the layout doesn't make any sense, and like, you know, there's people that they come in and they never leave, and they like, there's just all kinds of weird things that happen there, and it's kind of experienced differently by different people, you know, depending on sort of your state of mind. Like, what you take in is kind of what you get out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool, a curse that kind of adapts to the people that it's affecting.
Totally. I think that is a classic, like, kind of thing that's explored, at least in houses or house-like haunting areas, is this idea, and they said it in Hill House, that they're like, it has a gravity.
Yeah.
And it's like a gravity that pulls people and things into it. And you
the
just
curse
get stuck
is hungry.
There. Yeah, right. Yeah. But what was kind of cool, maybe we shouldn't. I was going to say something about the ending of Hill House.
Yeah, maybe no spoilers.
I should maybe save that.
Recent-ish. So.
Anyway.
It's good. That's not a spoiler.
There's more than meets the eye.
Mm,
how about that?
Yes. And it's not a Transformer.
No.
Yeah. This is cool. I think this is a good foundation we've laid. We've made our bed, and now
we must haunt it.
We must haunt it. Yes, exactly. Like, I didn't know where I was going to go with that. I was like, are we taking a nap now? yes, let's jump on into our own creations here, Piper. Do you have a juicy little prompt for us to sink our vampire fangs into.
I do. So we're each going to get a word. And you got the first word last week.
Yes. Okay.
So I'm going to get the first word this week. Mm. Sam, I want you to choose a number for me though.
Ooh.
You're going to choose
84.
1 through 4.
Okay. Well, I guess I messed that one up. Let's do 3, the perfect number.
Ooh, okay. My word then is needle.
Needle, ooh.
Needle. Okay, so when I think of needles, my thoughts go to like a factory where like an old timey turn of the century factory where like people are sewing. Or else I think of hospitals, but I think that's a little too easy for like a spooky location.
Can I give you my thought here? Do you want to like mull? So the first thing that I think of when I think of needle, I think of like pins and needles, like the sensation, like a gripping cold, like feels like needles or something like that.
Yeah,
that might be somehow tie into it a little bit. The whatever this curse is, that's kind of what washes over you when it takes hold or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I do like that. I think I want to try and focus on location and stuff first. Yeah. So I think I am drawn to this kind of factory warehouse because I did earlier, I was jotting down ideas of like different possible locations.
Yeah.
And one thing I wrote down was a steel mill. And I wrote next to it, accidents happen.
I like that.
and so I think...
Well, Piper, I work in manufacturing, so I can certainly tell you that if we follow the appropriate OSHA guidelines, accidents never happen.
Well, did they have those guidelines in New York City in 1912?
Probably not.
I'm definitely thinking of like a big factory in New York, turn of the century kind of the thing. And I think, unless...
No, sorry. Go ahead. I have an actual historic like concept here that might be interesting that involves a textile factory in New York or several textile factories in New York.
Oh, I think I've heard you, but yeah, our listeners haven't. So yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Share this. It might be good fodder.
If you look into the, I think it's the Triangle shirt factory or the Triangle shirt coat factory or something like that. It was basically this. I'm going to butcher the story here. I heard this on another podcast that we love, Behind the Bastards.
Just recycling
recycling this a long time ago. But basically, there was this guy who owned a bunch of like textile factories in New York, and he hired all of these basically like immigrant workers, and he paid them like nothing. And every once in a while, they would intentionally burn the place to the ground, like at the end of the year with a bunch of product in it, because the way that insurance worked at the time, it was very easy to commit fraud. So at the end of the year, any of the product that they didn't sell, they'd just destroy the building and burn it. And then they would collect the insurance payment. And that was like how they sold, quote unquote, their excess product, essentially. Mm-hmm. And the insurance industry was like kind of corrupt at the time, apparently, because it wasn't regulated well. And so this was sort of a thing that was like known about, but just no one really did anything. So it's I think it's interesting that there's this sort of like system in play that kind of produces curses, right?
Yeah,
like they're trying to produce textiles, but in essence, they're actually, they're producing like evil, like energy.
Yeah.
That to me is kind of an interesting direction to maybe go with it.
Totally. I like that idea. You talked about burning it down. Maybe because I think the curse comes from like an evil businessman.
Yes.
An evil businessman who cares not for the quality of life of his workers. He gives them minimum wage and they're just like little cogs in his machine so he can make all his stuff. And so I think there's already like tons of injuries all the time, but it's very much like, if you catch your finger in the needle and you break the needle, it's coming out of your pay.
Yeah.
Get out of here. You just lost this machine.
Yeah.
Like I'm putting someone else in your place.
This is like literally how this place worked.
Yeah, exactly. I'm also pulling examples from, although my examples are coming from an American Girl movie, Samantha's Christmas Story that I watched as a kid, where she explores the hardships of factories. Because inspiration is everywhere, folks.
That's like the ultimate American Girl experience. Yeah.
So similar to her experience.
Yes. She can't even afford to go eat at the dinner hole after work. It's paid so little.
I think this corrupt man following in your real person's footsteps found out about this whole like sweet gimmick where you can burn down your own factory and get a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And so he's like, cool, I'm going to burn down my factory. And he like tells his foremans, he's like, eh, get all the ladies out of there. Get all the kids out. Like, whatever, we're going to burn this place down. And the dude's like, how long do I have? He's like, I'm going to burn it. I'm already pouring the gasoline, buddy. He's like, gotta leave.
It's like on fire.
Yeah. And he's like, shit, everyone out. But obviously not everyone gets out in time.
Yeah.
And I think, let's say maybe like 5 or 10 people are trapped inside the burning building and lose their lives. And you know what? These ghosts, they've enough is enough. That is the needle that breaks the camel's back. And they're like, we're haunting and cursing the shit out of this guy.
I like this.
I think the ghosts unionize to haunt him.
The ghost union. Okay. A haunted union, Piper, is like, well, a union is what haunts capitalist, business owners.
Exactly.
Like corrupt capitalist business owners. I think that's really, really great. I almost kind of want to just play a game where you play as this party of ghosts that were all killed in a factory fire. And the whole point of the game is just to like figure out the bureaucracy of how to run a ghostly union.
Yes.
Like it's all about like writing contracts and like getting people to like sign petitions and like setting in place like more effective ghostly like labor like safety regulations.
I'm just picturing like this guy, he knows that he's haunted and no one believes him, but he brings in like an exorcist or something and he's like, get rid of these ghosts, but the ghosts form a picket line. They're like, no scabs.
Yeah, you can't get in. Then eventually the exorcist is like, you know, actually I kind of see their point, and he joins the union.
Yes. Oh my god, ghost union.
I think that's great.
Thanks.
This is such a cool idea. Do you want to give me a prompt here and maybe see if we can
yes.
cook something up equal in joy and creativity as this for me?
So Sam, you have to now choose between numbers 1, 2, and 4.
I want to do 4.
4. Your word is whistle.
A thing I can't do.
That was
okay,
me.
All right.
We can pretend it was you.
We gotta rub it in.
Wait, here, Sam. Yeah. Sam is about to whistle now.
Oh, look at that. That was me.
Yeah.
I had to take a big breath for that mighty whistle. okay. So to me, just the very idea of a whistle is kind of a curse, even though it's a thing that I can do, that I'm very good at.
Yes.
what if there was a... Okay. I think it'd be an interesting thing that the sound of a whistle is a thing that you hear. Like maybe there's kind of like a slow, steady whistling sound, like wind roaring through like a tight canyon, that it kind of grows louder and louder and louder and louder, like across many generations, right?
Oh.
Like you sort of think like, oh, maybe it's like, you know, grandpa has tinnitus or something. He hears this sort of like, you know, dull, like, you know, high-pitched sound. But then, you know, his children start hearing it, and then their children start hearing it, and it's every generation it grows louder and louder and louder until, you know, 5 or 6 generations down, it's like almost deafening, right? You kind of are like, it blocks out other things, but then as you lose your ability to kind of hear the world around you, you start perceiving like other things like in that whistle. So it's kind of like, is this a, you know, this curse is like taking something from you, but you kind of reach this like next level of consciousness where you're sort of like, maybe am I hearing things from far away? Am I hearing things from like another plane? Like maybe it's another plane that's kind of like trying to come into your world through your ears or something. I don't know. I like the idea of the curse is almost like a living thing with like a will that's trying to like use you for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can easily see that driving each different generation to madness.
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
You just have this like noise and you can't hear what people are saying.
Absolutely.
And you just seem like a crazy person who's like, speak up.
Yeah.
I can't hear you. And they're like,
yeah.
They're like, what's wrong with you, dude?
Totally. And I love thinking about the ways that this would exert itself. This would manifest differently in different generations. Right. So, you know, maybe your great grandfather like chopped his ears off because he was like, oh man, like I'm so sick of hearing this. And then it didn't do anything.
Yeah, he would still hear the sound.
Exactly. And then just your grandfather would, you know, he went mad and he like, you know, he thought it was the composer that lived next door and he murdered him with a rusty saxophone or something like that, you know? And then like maybe your mother or something had it and, you know, she would always like scream loudly at everyone all the time. And then everybody thought that she was a witch because she was like screaming at people constantly and they murdered her. You know what I mean? Like the different ways that this
people can interpret and deal with.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of more the curse part. Like maybe the actual whistling isn't even a curse, but the way that the people that are experiencing it kind of react to it, that's sort of the curse.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you're cursing yourself by the way that you try to deal with this thing that might actually be kind of helpful. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is getting a little like a little wrapped up in itself. It's a little hypothetical, but.
Well, I want to ask you a question, but first I want to say that I think it makes sense that this curse needs to be something that it has to like develop with age.
Yes.
Because if you're a young woman who's constantly screaming, good luck getting married and bearing children pass on the curse.
That's a good point. I mean, some people maybe are into that. You know, last week we talked about somebody who married a dead woman and you were like, it's okay, he's into it.
Yeah, they were into it. Maybe she was a conscious, some people are consenting into people who dead woman.
Screaming all the time, yeah.
So my question for you, Sam, though, is...
You can marry somebody who's deaf.
My question is, what is the origin of this curse?
I do like the idea of it being some type of being that's trying to peek into our realm somehow. And the only way they can come, you know, it's sort of like they're sticking their fingers through the crack of a door and they can only get one finger through at a time. And like the finger that comes through the crack of the door is like this noise, right? Eventually it would be something that you start to see things. And then eventually after that, you smell like brimstone or something. And then eventually it's revealed that it's like a demon from some other place or something.
Interesting.
I think that would be kind of interesting that, you know, maybe the first person in this family to experience this curse, they were an archaeologist or an explorer or something like that. And they found some stone or some gem or some magical artifact that was connected to this other plane. And when they picked it up, it connected them to it. And so now they're like a doorway that this other plane is kind of trying to open.
I've got something for you.
Yeah. What do you got?
So how about, because the word is whistle,
yeah,
maybe they find like some ancient woodwind instrument.
Ooh, I like that.
And yeah, they bring it to their lips and they give it a little blow. And from that moment, they like, as soon as the sound comes out, they like clasp their hands over their ears and they never go reeling stops. Backwards.
Yeah.
And the person who's with them is like, it didn't make any noise. It's almost like a dog whistle. Like only they can hear it.
I like that. So like the whistle, the sound lives within them now.
Right.
Like,
yeah, they've released that noise and now it's really stuck in their ears.
So I like that. That makes it more specific now too, that it's attached to this specific artifact. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Maybe like because you talked about it moving, maybe it was trapped in that whistle, but since the person blew the whistle, now it's trapped in their head.
Yeah.
And the only way they can release it is
for somebody to blow them.
PG-13.
I'm
going to
bleep that one out.
Well, maybe they find out that maybe they keep the whistle with them. And if they can convince someone else to blow it, maybe like taking inspiration from The Ring, they have to pass this this fourth grade plastic recorder.
They have a slide whistle.
They're like, blow this for God's sake. Please blow it.
Yeah, it's like Beelzebub's slide whistle.
Oh my God. I want to like tell like a very abbreviated version of one of my favorite like traumatic childhood stories for me.
Yeah, please
is that
do.
When we had the recorder session in music class in elementary school, which I'm sure lots of you had.
Yeah.
It came with like the teacher's like, we're going to do recorder class. She handed out these little pamphlets where you could buy these like colorful plastic recorders.
Yeah.
And I like excitedly ran home and showed it to my dad. I'm like, we're having recorders. So you need to buy me one. I want the blue one. Let's do this. And he was like, oh, no, I'm not buying you a recorder. You're going to use my old recorder.
Oh my God.
From the 60s/70s. I don't know when I was born. I'm Piper's dad. And I was like, God, please don't, dad. And he goes and he gets it.
Sorry. I don't think your dad was in middle school in the 60s. Probably. But yeah.
Well,
go
you
on.
Know. Anyway. Yeah. It's like literally this like poop brown,
ew,
solid like hunk of something. And I'm like, I can't show up at this, dad. I just can't. Everyone's going to have colorful plastic recorders. And if I come with the poop brown recorder, it's going to be awful. And he's like, don't worry. Also, I have a gym sock that you can carry it in. And I was like, no, how poor are we?
Was it a cursed gym sock?
Yes.
I just had the boring like beige one, which was also a target of ridicule for my peers because I remember I had a friend who had like a clear lime green one.
That's the thing,
that
yeah.
one was the shit.
They
like,
were
that one was the cool one.
That's
yeah,
what they were trying
yeah,
to sell, yeah. The like see-through plastic recorders. Man. No.
Yeah. I did make a whistle in ceramics class once that was ooh, way cooler than it was a
one of those little like where you put three fingers on it, like a little ball.
No, I didn't make an ocarina. Kind of I didn't make an ocarina. I tried making one of those and I wasn't good enough at it to aww, make it whistle. I could make the actual like whistle part, mm-hmm, but I tried putting holes in it and it like stopped making sound because I don't know if I warped it as I was doing it, if I deformed the original thing, but I basically just made a big sphere that I hollowed out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put like a little tube that came off of it, and I made it work as a whistle. And then I was like, okay, well now I have to decorate this. What do I make it? And I was like, I don't know, like a dude's face. And the whistle part was like the nose. So you blew into this weird, like anteater nose of like a weird fucked up looking person. That was a cursed artifact.
Sure.
If ever there was one. I think that's what it started as. And I think I changed it to like a, to like an eagle or something like that. I don't remember. I remember it sat on my parents' like countertop for a long time, and then I glazed it like lime green or something. I'll see if I can find a picture of it or something.
Dude, oh my God. There were so many things that I made in pottery that like maybe they looked fun when they were plain, but then I would paint them a horrendous color with like yellow with like blue spots. And my parents like put it on display in the house, and I'm like, you really don't have to do that. This is not like, worth showing.
As you're pulling it out of the kiln, you're realizing the folly of your...
I'm like, what have I created?
Yeah, exactly. See, this is how curses are truly born, is through the inexperience and hubris of a middle school, a mediocre middle school pottery artist.
Precisely.
And that's what you should take away from this episode, I think, listeners.
Should we throw in some modifiers?
Yeah, let's throw in some modifiers
here.
Mix
these bad boys up.
Let's, as long as we got the wheel back. We had such a big reaction to the wheel coming back last week.
Yay.
I love that. We got a bunch of tweets that people were like, you brought the wheel back. Hell yeah. It was great. So thank you so much for reaching out to us, for tweeting at us, for your DMs. We were glad to know that we did a good one. Finally.
I also just want to say I've noticed already we have a pattern, at least I have a pattern going, it seems, for season two, where last time I created like Monster Lawyer Court,
yeah,
and this time I've created Ghost Union.
Ghost Union, yeah, yeah. We have to have the ghost, well, the Monster Court obviously will, the Monster Lawyer will represent the Ghost Union.
Oh, yes.
In the upcoming legal battle between the man who burned all the factories down versus Ghost Union. All right. Piper.
Yes.
I'm spinning a wheel for you here.
Thank you.
I'm gonna have a modifier on it.
Oh boy.
Let's see what we get.
What is it?
We've got genre bender.
Ooh, genre bender. Okay.
So explain how genre bender works for our listeners here.
Will do. So this is a cool way to mix things up, whereas whatever like genre or kind of setting that the creation originally took place in, I now have to choose a new genre to throw it into.
Yes. So let's define the first genre first here. I mean, it's pretty solidly like,
I would,
horror bureaucracy.
I would say if this would be sort of like a horror slash like period drama.
Okay.
Would be my genre.
Cool.
That is currently is set in, because I do picture like turn of the century New York.
Yes.
So if I'm gonna throw it into a new genre, haunted union slash factory. But now it's, because like comedy is already pretty close to what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe,
I mean, everything we do is a comedy.
It's,
you know,
true.
I mean?
It's true.
I mean, okay, you could do like a sci-fi. You could
outer space.
Yeah, like space ghosts. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be neat.
Yeah.
But how do you burn a factory in space?
Well, what if it's like what if instead of a factory, it's like a hydroponics bay on the first Mars colony or something like that?
Oh.
You know, like go. Kind of a little more in that direction with it.
Dude, okay, here's a concept that I like. Okay, so we know how curses work.
Yes.
On our terrestrial plane.
Yes.
But
yes.
How do curses work potentially differently when in new environments?
Oh, okay.
So let's say...
Do curses obey the laws of gravity? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying, I'm like things, because all kinds of different stuff like works differently in different space environments.
Yeah,
space
okay.
changes everything.
Okay.
Curses
are lighter than air, so if you go somewhere with less atmosphere, the curses just float away and they can't hurt you.
You can avoid the curse if you simply belly crawl on the ground.
Yeah, it's like if your house is on fire, you never want to like stand up to avoid the smoke. Like,
yeah, the
most
smoke
people,
is the curse.
Most people don't die from the fire. They die from smoke inhalation.
They
it's the same way with
breathing
curses.
Breathing those curses in.
Yeah, exactly. They die from curse vapor. That's what it is. They don't die from the curse themselves.
No, I was going to say, like, maybe, like, because this idea, like, if it's not making textiles, it's making something else. Maybe they're like producing oxygen, or they're like, yeah, they're okay. running like something that, yeah, creates water because they're trying to terraform a planet.
Yeah.
And so this company, like, again, evil, corrupt company still works yeah. the same way. Penny pinching buttholes. Like, to promising people a better life and yeah, a new yeah, world. Yeah, yeah. But they're, yeah. it's just like corporate enslavement.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. 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 Like, so, that's not even science fiction. No, that's just the world. Yeah. Yeah. That's just so, us. Like,
this person running this this facility on this brand new planet, because it's the first one, like, first kind of thing that they've set up there, he does it all wrong. I don't think he burns it down for insurance, because that doesn't make sense.
Well, there's also no oxygen on Mars, so the fire would not last very long.
I think, though, it's more of just like how he cruelly mistreats his people.
Yeah, okay.
That a curse like happens from this cruelty.
Okay, he like works them to death, basically.
Yeah, and I think the Ghost Union, instead, they here on this world, maybe there was like a civilization there like millions of years ago, and they Ooh. Left because they found out like bad energy stays in this soil and yeah. it does not go away. And so because this curse happens on this new unfamiliar planet,
because the bad energy here is so heavy, it's well, heavier than exactly, air, it sinks yes. into the soil.
Yes, yeah. it saturates the ground it and it stays there. It
grows into evil space corn. Yeah.
I think the entire planet essentially becomes saturated with this curse of this cool. one man's evil deed, and Ooh. The galactic corporation decides, wow, that asshole he just lost us an entire planet.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, we lost it because this one guy couldn't run his place right.
Yeah.
But I think with them realizing that, they're like, okay, we have to get better people in management so that ghosts don't take over our new planets that we're trying to terraform.
This is like, I love how optimistic this like Galactic Federation is, that it's like a bureaucracy that works really well, you know, that they're like, well, we identified the problem, now we're going to take steps to fix it. Not like, just keep throwing money at it, maybe this guy will figure out how to fix his own problems eventually.
Yeah, no, I think they learn from that, because maybe we'll take a page from a nice optimistic Star Trek yeah. kind of setting, and they're like, okay, the Ghost Union got a good result, because yeah. now other people aren't being mistreated, but they are now stuck on this heavy gravity planet that is just like full of like bad vibes. And I think if you're like flying nearby in your spaceship, you'll be like, oh man, we need a place to land. This would be like kind of like maybe how your space party gets involved.
Yeah.
Is you're running low on fuel and the only place to stop is that one cursed, like yeah. half terraformed planet.
Yeah.
And you're like, we can't go there, it's cursed. And you're like, that's stupid. That's not even science. It's not a real yeah. thing. We're gonna land here. And it's like, we'll never leave.
Help us, party. The Galactic Federation's trying to deregulate the intergalactic textiles industry. You have to lobby for them to put stricter sanctions upon this guy.
What is this, Star Wars prequels? Hooray for bureaucracy.
I told you this is the campaign I want to play, Piper, and I'm not letting it go.
Yay. Okay, I think that's my change.
No, that, okay, that's great. I like that. I like that we went with like it's a very spicy take on like the driest possible concept. It's really, really good. I like it a lot.
Take something boring and you make it yes, sweet.
It's drier than the waterless surface of Mars.
Yeah.
Although there is ice there.
Mm.
Okay, so I got Piper for my modifier, Mirror Universe.
Ooh.
So what that means is we have to look at like an alternate reality.
Yeah.
Like version of this.
Or
so,
like, yeah, the opposite of what you've created.
Yes. Everybody puts little goatees on and they become evil, or they yeah. take their goatees off and they become good. Yeah. It depends. No. It totally depends. So let's see. The opposite of mine is
this a land where whistles are the sentient creatures? Yes, okay. And they find a man.
See, that's what I was going to say. There's definitely like a mascot for something that's like a giant walking like trombone or something like that, right? I don't know.
I have an idea.
Oh, what's that?
I mean, it's your creation.
I just was about to hit something.
Go.
So I kind of like the idea of maybe there is instead of kind of having your sense of hearing like sucked away or like overpowered by this this like whistling sound, right, that kind of lives within this family line, maybe this takes place in a world where they're like everyone is naturally born deaf, like there is like nobody hears anything, like we don't have ears, we don't have mechanisms to do that, right?
Ooh.
And then instead of kind of losing this sense of sound, suddenly you blow into this whistle and you hear for the first time.
Dude.
And your brain is like, I don't know how to process this. Like, what is this
like
sensory experience? Yeah. It's like, you kind of go mad from like overstimulation a little bit, if that's where it drives you. And like over generations, maybe you kind of learn to like adapt to this and figure out like, oh, now I'm able to experience this world in a different way, right? I think that'd be a really fun thing if, you know, I can't think of any specific like monsters or races or anything in D&D that have precedent for, you know, for being deaf. Or I'm sure there is something out there that they just, you know, either they live in places where hearing is not useful for them, so they have very poor hearing or something like that. But I would love that if you, like, how would you role play that? You know, I think kind of a fun thing would be if you did like a session zero where there's no speaking whatsoever. It can, you can only communicate through like nonverbal, you know, like facial expressions or like drawing little hieroglyphs or pictures, or, you know, if you know how to sign or if you know how to, you know, things like that. And then after the first session, like the last 5 seconds would be the DM saying like, you know, like just making a whistling sound, you know, and then it cuts to black. I think that'd be really, really cool.
Definitely.
It's not really a curse per se, but I guess it's about as much of a curse as the original one was.
So I had a thought too, to kind of like build off of that. Cause when, you know, when we create the curses originally, the question is, you know, like why did this happen, kind of a thing. Yeah. And one potential why that I just thought of is this idea. So like this entire group of people, you said they are deaf and they can't hear anything.
Yeah.
Maybe there's another race of people who do communicate with sound and they have previously been unable to like interact with this group because they can't hear them. So maybe they create this whistle and they give it to like, or they send it off into society, kind of like Within Contact.
Yeah.
The aliens send us the blueprints.
Like, let's just see what they do with it.
So we can create the machine to come and see them. And so they're like, we're going to place this whistle here to give someone the ability to hear. And then once they hear, they're like, this is crazy and insane. And then the people come, they show up. I'm rambling. They show up and they're like, ah, now you can hear us. Now we can communicate. The person's like, what?
Yeah. Well, okay. And like, I think this introduces is kind of an interesting like moral thing as well. It's kind of like you can look at it from the perspective that it's kind of like a Prometheus giving the gift of fire to humanity, but I also think there's an interesting thing with I don't think this is necessarily how it would be contextualized within this setting, but I know that within communities of people who are of different like physical ability, you kind of build that into your identity a little bit. And I know that some people, you know, people who are deaf or people who are blind or people who are like on the spectrum or things like that can take it as an offense to say like, oh, let's fix this.
Right.
You know, like that's
not
really
fix it.
No, totally. Like, but I think that's an interesting sort of moral conversation. And I think this is a good example of a way that role play can kind of introduce those concepts and those conversations in kind of a safe setting. Now, I am in no way whatsoever equipped to run something like that or to have that conversation, but I would be fascinated to see somebody who is, you know, connected to a community like that that has an experience kind of like this, what your insight might be into this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if anybody listening, you know, has a friend or a family member or, you know, or anybody in their lives that has an experience like this, if you'd be interested in sharing anything, like, I would love to hear that. Obviously, I know that's a big ask. Like, that's a very personal thing to ask, but like, I don't know. I think that's a fascinating concept. Like, I think that the power of role play to explore things like this and to sort of see other people's perspectives and understand other people's like experiences.
Right.
That's really potent.
Yeah. And in the narrative structure, as a DM, you could present the person with a choice of saying, do you want to continue down this path and see like what other things we can show you? Or do you want to like stick with what you've always known and go back to your culture and society?
Yeah.
And like, you know, both are good options and both have pros and cons.
It's so interesting. Okay. Yeah. This isn't where I was thinking an episode about curses would go. Like, but this is, I don't know, nothing spookier than a difficult conversation with a friend or family member, right?
Dude, no, I think it's really neat.
I think that's fun. Well, honestly, like I feel like if I say too much more about this, I'm gonna ruin it or say something offensive. Yeah, put my foot in my mouth somehow. I think that's a cool concept, and I would love to find a way to like be better equipped to explore that. I currently, right now, I'm absolutely not equipped at all to explore it. But you know, maybe somebody out there is.
Totally.
Let us know if you.
Yeah, we'd love to hear.
Have any insight into that at all? We'd love to hear it. If anybody does want to share any insight about our creations or about that particular topic or any feedback about the podcast in general, Piper, where can they go to do that?
Well, you can reach out to us on Twitter at WorldForgePod, or you can send us an email, worldforgepod@gmail.com.
Yes, absolutely. If you have any fan fiction or fan art or fan mail or feedback of any kind that you want to send our way, those are two great avenues to do so. And if you want to support our show completely for free, consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcasting app of choice. 5 stars and a nice little comment not only makes our day, but it does help get our show in front of the ears of new listeners. Short of strapping your friends and family to a chair and forcing them to listen Clockwork Orange style, that's just a really, really great way to help us out.
Yeah.
So we're very appreciative of anybody who gives us a recommendation to a friend or anything like that. So
yes, indeed.
Yes. But I think that about wraps up the creation phase for this week. Mm-hmm. For Rec Room, I don't really have a really big one. We've had kind of a busy couple of weeks here. We can just talk about a few fun examples of kind of curses in other games that we've played. I think there are two board games that stand out to me really clearly. That would be Curse of the Hidden Temple, mm-hmm. Which is, it's basically like cooperative Yahtzee with a timer. So it's a game where essentially you build out a little temple and you move through it by rolling dice. And you can also accomplish certain tasks in the temple by rolling dice. And the goal is to build out and explore, to collect gems in different rooms, and then make your way back to the exit and get out. And every single game lasts, I think, 3 minutes. So there's this cool soundtrack and a timer. And the idea is if you fail, like you succumb to the curse and you get trapped in the temple and that's the end of it. And then you just reset the game and you play again. So it's a really, really fun kind of party game. It's very, very quick. The rules are very, very easy. Thematically, it's about curses. Mm-hmm. It's not really spooky necessarily. It's kind of fun and family friendly, but it's a really, really fun game. And I recommend it. It has curse in the name. So mm-hmm. I'm counting that as a good option.
Yeah. I would throw out to just kind of stay on par.
Throw out your pencil on the ground.
I'll throw my pen on the ground with how much I want to recommend this.
Yes.
Because we did obviously talk about Hill House last week, but I will also recommend Bly Manor, and Sam and I are currently making our way through Midnight Mass.
Yes.
Which they haven't really like confirmed this, but it's kind of like a theory of mine. We're only on like episode 2.
Yeah.
But with the whole nature of this is like a fishing community that has been kind of cursed by the fact that there was this oil spill offshore and they've been unable to bring in the bounty from the sea that they normally have, and the island has fallen on hard times.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's also very cursey.
I like that. We didn't really talk about kind of how to scale a curse like that. It can be something that affects an entire town or an entire country or an entire planet. I mean, we did talk about an entire planet, I suppose, being mm-hmm. cursed by that, but really getting into sort of the mechanics of that and like getting a little more granular with it, I think would be another really fun conversation, maybe for a future episode. Because I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. I suppose we have a little bit of precedent for that in one of our games that we're running. There is a curse that essentially is like threatening to take over an entire continent. That was kind of the first big game that you and I played. And it physically manifests as like a great black dragon sort of that is just kind of, that was I think one of the last sessions we played was it finally took on a physical form.
It's been so long, I've forgotten
and besieged your I know you remember every excruciating detail with crystal clarity,
of course.
I think that's something that we've kind of used to what I thought was sort of fun effect, but the power of curses is truly far-reaching. So please let us know if you find any ways to use any of this stuff or if you have any other thoughts. Yeah, again, reach out to us, as we said. And I think we're going to go ahead and wrap it up this week, listeners.
Yeah, so, exactly. And we command you to return 2 weeks from now for our next episode, or else you will in fact be cursed.
Exactly. We curse any listener who turns off midway through the episode.
Yes.
And we bless any listener who makes it all the way here. So if you made it here, you're officially blessed.
Gesundheit.
We love you all, listeners. Goodbye. We will be back next week, or in 2 weeks, I guess, with another very, very fun episode. Good night.
Good night.
Later.
Bye.